Our subject this morning is serving Christ. The text is Romans 12:1. We will get there. We're going to start looking in the Psalms at what it means to serve God. We're going to begin with Psalm 100. The church is not an accidental meeting of isolated individuals who practice their own religious beliefs. The church is instead a group that meets together to celebrate the God of the Bible. And only people who are submissive to His will can do that. Now that means, friends, there are a great many people in this world at this very moment who are meeting together, but are not really a church. And they sing and they go through the forms of worship. There's a liturgy there, and there are hymns sung, and sometimes there's even a sermon. But they are not people who submit to God's will. They're not people who intend to serve Christ. They have their own purposes. They have their own goals. And they're going their own way. They may assemble for a little while in a building, but they go off in all different directions. Their goal in life is not to be found in that building. Instead of that, let us consider today what it really means to serve Christ. In Psalm 100, we have the invitation of David, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." God invites people to come into His presence and to do so with joyfulness. Church is not a somber occasion. Sometimes there are sad subjects that are mentioned. But our assembly together is a glad and joyous time because we serve a God who is joyful at heart. How do we know that? Because the Psalms celebrate God with joy. They sing His praises with rapture. And that is exactly what He is all about. Serving God is not drudgery. Serving God is not sorrowful. It is joyous. And we are aiming, friends, at the book of Revelation, where the singing is joyous indeed. But consider here in the psalm, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. That means that God is especially joyful in hearing His people sing His praises. When we sing the great hymns of the faith, that is not just to have a solemn sound in a building. The songs of God's people ascend up before His presence. He is pleased to hear the songs of His people. And the singing that we do here is heard by vastly more than just the walls of this building. Do you think you can pray and God doesn't hear you? Do you think you can sing to His praise and joyful pleasure and He can't hear you? No, my friends, we have the great privilege of assembling together as individuals who determine in our hearts to be obedient to Him, to come submissively before Him, and to sing His praises, knowing that it gives Him pleasure to hear His people celebrate how great He is and what a wonderful Savior we serve. The Psalms are rich in helping us to do that. in verse 4 of the same psalm, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name." What a wonderful privilege it is to have access to the Lord of the universe, to come before His presence and sing His praises and celebrate how great He is and the marvelous wonders of His grace. He is listening. He is pleased when we sing His praises. My friends, we must recognize that our lives must not be just dull drudgery, serving the Lord quietly and determinedly. It must be joyfully. It must be with celebration, for He is listening. Friends, we have the privilege of serving the God who created all things and created them all for His pleasure. And we can be part of that in the way we spend every day, praising Him, thanking Him, singing His praises. He is listening. Friends, we must recognize how great a privilege we have in joyfully proclaiming His greatness and His love. Friends, let's turn to John chapter 12 and pursue this theme further. In John chapter 12, the Lord Jesus instructs His people in the way to walk. And beginning with verse 25, He says, "He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." And this reinforces to us that we cannot serve God just in any way we please. We cannot serve God by just picking out a pathway and saying, "I'm going to do it this way." No, the first thing we have to do is to ask God, "What is Thy will? What is Thy purpose for my life? How in Scripture am I directed to serve and to sing praise to Thee?" It always must be in submission to God's holy word. The world thinks it can do it anyway. They make up songs with a jazz beat or a rock beat or any other way because it pleases them. It never crosses their mind that what they're doing might not please God. We have assembled together here not to please ourselves, not just to have a good time, but to please Him, to sing praises that He will enjoy, to proclaim His word according to His will, and by our glad spirit of obedience to cause joy to Him. And in doing that, to find out what the joy of the Spirit is, for that's part of the fruit of the Spirit. Joy doesn't come because we work or struggle to get it. It comes because we please God and find pleasure in serving and singing His praises, and the joy is there. A joyous occasion for believers is not something worked up. It is something that is achieved through pleasing Him and working according to His will and His revealed word and celebrating Him as He deserves, and thus finding the joy within, because pleasing Him is also a pleasure for His people. Now it's interesting that the Lord says in this context that if any man serve me, let him follow me. And that word follow is a present imperative. Let him keep on following me. Let him continue following me. And this is the purpose of our life. This is what we are doing. We're not in this world seeking riches or fame or any other worldly category. We are here following His purpose, being obedient to His holy word. And we must persistently follow. We must keep on following Him and not become distracted by the world or our own ambitions or any other sidetrack. We must seek to please Him and rejoice in His presence and continue following Him determinedly. Now that implies a separation from what is evil, because evil does not please Him. That implies a dedicated obedience, for the obedient heart pleases Him. That implies a determined purpose, that we shall walk His pathway according to His blessed word, and we shall pursue His presence. And that pleases Him. For even in the Garden of Eden, He walked in the garden, seeking His people and their pleasure. They were busy seeking something else. That sad scene is there to remind us that it is easy for us to forget what we are doing here, to have wrong purposes and wrong motives in what we are doing, instead of doing whatever we're doing to the glory of God and to please Him from the heart and to be obedient to His holy word, because that is His will and His pleasure. In verse 32, same chapter, the Lord says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." In what He is saying in this chapter, we see that He has in His mind His coming sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary for His people. If I be lifted up from the earth, what a way to describe the terrible crucifixion, execution by Roman murderers, for He was an innocent man. If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me. And there is a very expressive word for that. The picture of Christ dying for our sins grips our hearts and draws us to Himself. That is to be sharply distinguished from the way the devil operates. The devil drags by force. In Revelation, the dragon with his tail dragged people downward. He loves to compel people to go wrongly. Through drugs, through a life of crime, habits that chain people, he delights in dragging people downward. The Lord will never drag anyone anywhere. The Lord, by His death, by His example, by His words, draws us to Himself. We feel impelled to come to Him, to seek His face, to serve Him as we should. And it's the heart that is warmed by His love, filled by His grace, that seeks His presence, and He draws His people to Himself. A beautiful word of Christian appeal. In Romans, if you will turn to chapter 12, the Apostle Paul carries on this theme. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Now here, the Apostle Paul is telling us how we can serve appropriately. He beseeches us by God's mercy. Think of His mercy. We all deserved condemnation. We deserved judgment for our sins. We deserved an eternal hell for our disobedience to God and His word. By the mercies of God, how great is His forgiveness. How great is His cleansing power of the blood. How great is His mercy in allowing us to serve who do not deserve such a privilege. But He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. The world oftentimes thinks that they can serve God with their mind and with their flesh serve the devil. They think they can get away with sin and just have some kind of nice thoughts once in a while and that'll satisfy God. That's not what Scripture says at all. Scripture makes very clear that when we serve God, we present our whole being to God. And yes, with the mind we must serve Him. With the mind we must think His thoughts after Him. But with the body, we must present ourselves to Him. Because we are here in this world, in the nasty now and now. And what we are doing in this realm is important in His eyes. And we cannot split our personality by serving God somehow in thought and serving the devil with the hand. No, we must give ourselves to Him and let Him have His will and His way with us and seek to please Him with our whole being. And that is what Paul means here. That is holy, acceptable in His sight. We open up a distance between ourselves and the world and sin and the devil. We put ourselves in the presence of God, set apart for Him, holy for Him, for He is holy. And it's our logical service. If He has died to save us, can we not serve the Savior? If He sacrificed Himself for us, can we not devote ourselves to His cause? Very logical. Somehow, Christians forget the logic of all that. And he mentions that He is good. Ah, thank God for His goodness, His mercy, His kindness to us. Infinitely compassionate when we deserve nothing. Friends, we need to demonstrate our devotion to God. We need to put ourselves in heart and in mind in His presence and let Him use us as He desires to be a blessing to others, to be a benefit to His work in this world. That can happen only as we present our bodies to Him. Let Him have His way. Let Him do with us whatever He desires to do. In verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. What's he saying? He's saying, live in a way that demonstrates your faith. Live in a way to show others how serious you are concerning your obedience to God. Instead of reacting to wrongs, commit them to God and go your way in peace. That's not normal. The world doesn't understand that at all. It understands only payback, avenge yourself. But Christ didn't do that on the cross. And we are not to do that either. Let Him have His way. Put ourselves into His presence for obedience. In chapter 14 of Romans, drop down to verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Yes, it is living so as to please God and rejoicing in the privilege of doing that. There is joy there as well as the peace and the righteousness. In he that's in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. This certainly tells us if we want to be acceptable before God, it must be by walking His pathway in the manner in which He has told us to do it, in submission to His will and letting Him have His place in our life. And singing while we do it. Praising His name while we are serving. This is what He desires. The joyful service. The celebration of His presence. Whatever we are doing here. Singing to Him. Friends, all too often, we allow sadness to inflict its damage on our heart. We allow worldly failure to dampen our spiritual spirits. Friends, we must not let that happen. We must continually sing His praises. Celebrate how great He is. Think of what He has done on our behalf. And continue singing hymns of praise. He is listening. All too often He hears murmuring from us because the pathway is so hard. Now friends, the pathway leads home. The pathway leads into His presence. Endless joy and celebration. That is not a sad trip. That is a joyous trip. That is a pathway that we should continue walking, singing God's praises, thanking God for the privilege of walking homeward to His presence. This is what our heart's purpose must be. In Colossians chapter 3, dropping down to verse 24. He has just said, "Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." Yes, we're going to receive the reward of the inheritance. What is that? You will be a child of God forever. You will inherit all things. He has a place for you in that celestial city waiting for you. He has a purpose for you in the ages to come, where you will be His child, serving Him through endless ages, never finding a dull moment, never finding an occasion to depart from His presence, joyously serving Him forever and ever. We should think of that. We should let our minds dwell upon what He is preparing for us. Assuredly, that tells us we have very solemn responsibilities without end. But now, in this same context, how does He tell us that we may serve Him joyously? Oh, back up to verse 18. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord." Right now, Christian wives have the opportunity of serving Christ joyously by serving their husbands. A simple, humble thing, and yet it pleases God. Verse 19, "Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them." Husbands, love your wives. Now, that means that we have specific responsibility toward our wives, of loving them more than ourselves, serving them from the heart. In the next verse, "Children, obey your parents in all things, to the youngest member of the congregation." There's a way in which you may serve Christ here, not just in the ages to come. God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't care what the service is. He accepts the service whenever it is done from the heart. Which means every one of us, in our place in life, here in this world, have the opportunity of pleasing God, of serving Him from the heart, even in humble family relationships, children's service in the home. God is listening. God is watching. God accepts that service and is pleased, glad to see His people serving Him now. And that opportunity will never end. In endless ages, by His grace, we shall have other opportunities. More magnificent doors will be opened. Opportunities to serve forever will be there. And God is listening and watching and pleased by the service. This is what He is like. My friends, there is no good reason for God to create the human race other than it pleases Him. Consider what the people throughout the ages have done against God and against His people, spurning His love, denying His word, going their own way. And He endured all of this so that He could bless the people who serve Him and impart to them divine joy that He has and the blessed privilege of serving Him for endless ages. How great is His love. How great is His compassion toward His people. We must never forget. In Hebrews chapter 12, dropping down to verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. We're receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved. And that reminds us how fragile the earthly kingdoms are. Over and over again, powerful generals and political officials set up kingdoms, and they strut their stuff on the stage for a little while, and they're gone. And others replace them with all the arrogance and confidences that they would live forever, and they're gone. And generation after generation, century after century, all the pride and pomp of mankind is decimated, wiped out. Kingdoms fall one after the other. Nothing in this realm is permanent except the kingdom of God. And He is patient. He is waiting until the right time when He will come again and establish that kingdom that shall never fall, because He, the great King, shall rule Himself. And that kingdom shall endure forever. My friends, we are on the winning side. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you will live forever. And you will be in that kingdom that lasts forever. And your joy will never end. Your celebration of His greatness and grace will never cease. My friends, He sets before us a marvelous vision of the future. But our God is a consuming fire. For all those people who are thinking of saving themselves, all those people who are thinking of gathering their little heap of treasures, living their own life and going their own way, yes, God is a consuming fire. But for God's people, who have found out how great His love is and how great His grace is, His presence consumes away selfishness, sin, all the things that harm ourselves and our relationships with others. His presence consumes away everything that is wrong, so that all that's left when He is through will be Himself and the spirits of just men made perfect. My friends, we must consider how great His purpose is and how marvelous His power in accomplishing that purpose. He will achieve exactly what He intends. And now, Revelation chapter 22. In Revelation 22, John says, "And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His slaves shall serve Him." There is the picture, Lord. Praise God for what He portrays for the future. All enemies put beneath His feet. All sin removed from His realm. All His people gathered in His presence. And it shall never end. Those people who are there we'll be celebrating the God of the Bible, not some other God. They will be submissive to His will, perfectly conformed to the image of His dear Son. And the joy will never stop. And the singing will go on forever. And the service of God's people will reach out to who knows how many worlds that He intends for the future to hold. He has a grand program for the ages, and His people will be part of it. My friends, our service here and now, humble though it may be, is a preparation for that service then. What we are doing here is important because it's molding us into the image of His dear Son. And as we serve, whatever doorway He opens for us, as we walk the pathway, whatever path He gives us, we are day by day, moment by moment, trying to please Him. By the power of His Spirit, singing His praises along the pathway, because His people are rejoicing. God is with us. His Word is sustaining us. The Savior summons us and leads us down the pathway. And we sing as we go, celebrating how great He is, feasting upon His precious Word, and helping one another along that pathway. God's people, cherishing the fellowship of the saints, because we are going together as a group committed to obeying this book, because this book tells us who God is and what He has done and what He plans for the future. And it is not an accident that you are sitting here in this building this day. God wants you to be part of His people, to walk His pathway, to trust in His dear Son as your Savior, that He might bless you forever and ever and cause your praises to ascend up before His presence into the ages of the ages. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In this quiet moment, if you have never come to the Lord Jesus and received Him as Savior, asked Him to wash away your sins, in this quiet moment, would you do so? If that is your heart's desire, would you slip up your hand and we'll pray for you. O Lord, how we thank Thee for the privilege that we have of rejoicing in Thy presence, of celebrating how great Thou art, of singing the praises of our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy great love, for Thy precious Word, for the pathway that lies open before us. Give us grace to walk humbly that pathway, joyfully singing to Thee, and obediently following our dear Savior homeward. Help us, Lord, to so live and so walk that pathway and so sing Thy praises that Thou wilt be pleased, for Jesus' sake. Amen.